If you read what Sri Aurobindo and the mother have written on this question, it's a very difficult research work. What is the speciality that you find in Sri Aurobindo? It emerges from the question of the supermind. That the Vedic rishis had some experience of the supermind, but that it was incomplete. In what way Sri Aurobindo considers to be incomplete? Why mother considers to be incomplete? Can be seen only when you study and make a research. In the questions that Sri Aurobindo asked and the answers that he found out. The questions that were asked by the Vedic rishis were of one type. The question that Sri Aurobindo asked, or the questions that he asked, were of different type. It has very much to do with the question of harmony, of which I spoke earlier. Can harmony be established in the physical world, in the physical life? In our own time, this question has become extremely imperative. It is as if mankind cannot make a next step forward if this question is not answered. Today, as never before, there is globality. Things begin to become global, universal. Even a small battle can become gradually a world war. Can become. And the weapons of war today are so disastrous that the whole mankind can become extinguished by the utilization of those instruments, those weapons. Therefore, the search for harmony, search for peace, is imperative, so urgent. When Sri Aurobindo turned to yoga, he turned to yoga first to ask and answer, to find an answer to the question, can yoga be utilized for attaining freedom of India? That was his first question. Has yoga an answer to the problem of freedom of India? And Sri Aurobindo found an answer, but when he found it, he saw that he was himself led to a deeper question. And he found that mere freedom of India is not enough. The whole world should be free. Free from fear, free from hunger, free from poverty, free from war, free from all kinds of envy and jealousy, rivalry of all kinds. That deeper question he began to ask. He was led himself to this question. And he made this search. On his own he discovered a supermind. It is not as if he read the Veda, found supermind there, and then he practiced yoga and then found supermind. That is not what happened in Sri Aurobindo's life. On his own search, he discovered the supermind. And then he began to develop this knowledge of supermind and surpass what was known in the Veda, because his question was, can this supermind be utilized? Is there any means by which the supermind can be employed to resolve the problems of the crisis that mankind is facing today? This is the question he asked. And surprisingly we find that mother, who had not met Sri Aurobindo until 1914, but who was practicing yoga on her own, when she met Sri Aurobindo on 29th March 1914 for the first time, mother herself has said, "I put a question to Sri Aurobindo," and she said, "I am seeing the supermind." She had already herself on her own had discovered the supermind. Again, it was not by reading the Veda that she had discovered the supermind. On her own she had found out the supermind by her own yogic experience. And she had this question, can that supermind descend on the earth? Can it be brought down on the earth? And why did she put this question? Because she found that in supermind there is automatic harmony. Supermind is a system of relationships which are automatically harmonic. There is no need of making an effort to harmonize. It is spontaneously harmonious. So if that supermind can come on the earth, then harmony can become automatic. So mother had seen that if that supermind can be brought down on the earth, then harmony can be brought about in the earth, in the earth life, physical life. But the question was, is it possible? That was the question that mother put to Sri Aurobindo in 1914. You can see the spirit of search. When mother says that Auroville is meant for research, it is this kind of burning research that we must have in our own heart. That kind of search which mother had, she was looking for an answer to this question. Can supermind descend on the earth? And then mother herself says, in her account of this experience of Sri Aurobindo, that Sri Aurobindo answered very briefly and said yes. It's a tremendous answer. That supermind can descend on the earth. There was no doubt in his mind. He had already crossed all the necessities of research. He had come to the conclusion that supermind can descend on the earth. Now, most of the people who had some vision of supermind, they had not come to this conclusion that supermind can really descend on the earth. Actually, as mother says in one of her other accounts later on, that all the past experience had repeatedly said that the highest cannot manifest in the physical. Whatever is the highest. The highest may be the Satchidananda, highest may be supermind, highest can be supreme love, it may be anything. Whatever is highest, something can come out on the earth, you can have a little bit of it, but it can never be permanently here, even that little. and it can never come down fully here in the physical world. For the first time, Sri Aurobindo explained to the mother, not explained, simply made a statement, yes, it can descend. And what is more important is the mother's remark that when Sri Aurobindo said yes, she saw that supermind began to descend on the spot. At the same time, it was not merely saying yes. And then mother makes a remark, for the first time I saw the knowledge so powerful as to become actualized. The moment Sri Aurobindo said, yes, it can descend, supermind began to descend. Now you may say, and it is true, that even in the Veda, there is a descent of the supermind. But the kind of descent that we find in the Veda and the kind of descent that we find in Sri Aurobindo, there is a difference. I told you last time of the victory of the fathers and gave a quotation from Parashar, the great rishi, who has described the condition in which the highest victory is obtained. That description is that the powers of the gods, who are the sons of Aditi, they come down and they can be sustained by the physical without dislocation. The body remains stable like a baked jar, not unbaked jar, but like a baked jar. And this is the state which they describe as the state of immortality. When the supermind can be sustained by the body and the body does not break down, that is a state of immortality. That state is a state of immortality. Does it mean it's a physical state? Physical immortality? That is a question to be raised. Did the rishis mean physical immortality? The answer is it can be. In one of the conversations in the agenda, mother says, it is quite possible that some of the rishis are even now alive. It is quite possible. If the physical remains sustained even when the supermind descends, that physical can continue to be on and on alive. But even then, mother makes a distinction between the immortality of the body and the state of deathlessness. Deathlessness is a state in which death is not obligatory. It's a conquest of death. Merely continue to live on and on and on, in which death does not occur, is not the conquest of death. The conquest of death is when death is not obligatory. One can die, but it is not obligatory. One need not. One is not obliged to die. This is a different proposition. We shall discuss this question some other time if there is a great sense of research in us. In fact, at one time in 1965-66, Mother had announced, "I am making research in what is death," and that she will help all those who want to make a research in it. What is death? Is death obligatory? Should death be there at all? In fact, Mother said, "My entire life experience can be summed up in one search." She said, "I am here on the earth, as it were, to find an answer, what is death and the conquest of death, because it is in death that is contained the seed of all that we call division, discord, disharmony, everything." There is a very interesting chapter in the Life Divine where Sri Aurobindo has brought out the issue of immortality in fullness, although briefly, but in all its aspects. Mere survival of death, that is to survive after death, may also be regarded as immortality. That immortality already exists in our soul already, for everyone. The soul survives the death. The psychic being is immortal. Soul is immortal. It passes from one body to the other, but it itself it remains the same. It grows. It enriches itself in experience, becomes vaster, but it remains. That immortality is of course known to everybody. To realize the immortality of the soul is also a great step. We may have heard of the immortality of the soul, but we may not have experienced that immortality of the soul. So experience of immortality of the soul is also a kind of an experience of immortality. You can say, "Well, I am immortal. I have become immortal," you can say when you experience the immortality of the soul. But that is not the full content of the idea of immortality. There is a deeper idea of immortality. When you experience the supreme reality, which is indestructible in its nature, the soul is only a spark of that reality. But when you realize the reality itself, that is another experience of immortality.